Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep left center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Here's the 0-2. Cut on and miss. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. Thank you for listening to Yankees Baseball. Have a good night. And A-Bob from A-Rod. Robbie Cano, a don't you know? Can you imagine? Hi, fans. Welcome back to Pinstripes and Bright Lights. I'm John Sterling. Each episode, I'll share one of my favorite memories from my years with the Yanks and with other teams. But before I do, we'll open the mail and read a letter from you, the fans. Today's letter, and it really is some letter, it comes from Bob in Connecticut. Dear John, I call you John because I feel like I know you personally after all these years of watching Yankees play baseball and listening to you announce the games. I'm writing to tell you about one of the best years of my life, 1996. By the way, Bob, me too. In the early part of the year, my fiancé and I went to New York City to the Diamond District to trade in all of our old rings and gold to buy an engagement ring for her. I had not officially proposed yet, as I was planning something big. I came up with the idea of having my proposal on the marquee board at Yankee Stadium. I sent my $50 in to set it up for April 9th, opening day, Yankees-Rangers, Andy Pettit on the mound. I bought four tickets for my girl and our two sons. We live over 2 hours away, so we started out at 8 in the morning. It was raining and snowing and cold. I'm worried they were going to cancel the game. How would I reschedule my announcement? We had seats in the upper deck. We were freezing cold and wet, but they did not cancel the game. An aside, that was the very famous game. The Yankees won. Pettit pitched, and they played in a snowstorm. That game I really do remember. About midway through the game between innings, on the marquee comes the words, "Diane, you are my friend and lover. Will you marry me, Bob?" I got down on one knee and pulled out the ring. Of course, she said yes, and 56,000 people around us were cheering. Now, that same year, the Yankees are in the World Series. It's the Wednesday before Game 6, and I told my foreman at work I was planning to go to Game 7. He told me, "Bob, they're going to win it in 6. So I said, "I won't be in tomorrow." My oldest son and I went to Game 6. No tickets. We bought scalp seats between third base and home and watched the Yankees win the World Series. Another Yankees memory in a year I will never forget. And on this podcast, Pinstripes and Bright Lights, believe me, I will tell you plenty of stories from that year, 1996. It's, as they say, our favorite year. Well, I certainly have been lucky enough to be so closely involved in Yankees Red Sox, which basically is the greatest rivalry in the game. I mean, there are other rivalries, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, but Yankees Red Sox, because it's gone on for so long and because they play so many games. There were 2 years in 2003 and 2004 where, because of the games you play within the division, 18 or 19 against each team in your division, and then the seven-game postseason, these two teams are playing 26 games a year. So there's a lot of background, but the background goes, obviously, a lot further back. Well, it really goes back to the owner of the Red Sox, Harry Frazee, in the late 19-teens, a Broadway investor, was putting on a show that really worked called No No Nanette, and he needed money, and he sold Babe Ruth to the Yankees. So I guess if you said, well, that's where it begins. In 1949, the Yankees are a game out. The Red Sox come to Yankee Stadium for the final Saturday and Sunday. The Red Sox take a 4-0 lead on Saturday. Whoa. And the Yankees rally, and a rather obscure outfielder, Johnny Lindell, hits a home run, and the Yankees win 5-4, and they play Sunday at the stadium. Anyway, the Yankees win the game, and they win the first of the five straight pennants in World Series under Casey Stengel. But my personal memory is one I'll never forget. In fact, when I got Tito Francona's book, and Tito was then in Cleveland, and I brought the book in, and I told him this story, and I swear to you, it's a true story. And the Yanks and Red Sox had a rainout or so. So what would have become a four-game series, what they call wraparound, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday, became a five-game series. The Yankees and Red Sox always played on a weekend. I mean, they changed the schedule for TV. And so we played a twi-nighter on Friday. And we played a Saturday early afternoon game. We played a Sunday night game. The old ESPN Sunday night 8 o'clock game drives you nuts. And then played an afternoon game on Monday. So on Friday night, we play a split doubleheader. And the Yankees won the first game. It went on forever, like all Yankee Red Sox games. My greatest memory of that first game, Derek Jeter came up against Mike Timlin, a very good right-hander who had been very good against the Yankees. And Jeter hit a line drive down the right field line with the bases loaded, a three-run triple. And the Yankees won a very high-scoring game. It took forever. Now there is a period of 3 hours or more between the two games. And I went into the Red Sox press dining room, and I don't know what I ate, but obviously I ate the wrong things. I was eating only to fill time. You know, you sit there with other members of the media, broadcasters, writers, etc., club officials, and you chew the fat, schmooze, and eat. Well, the second game occurred, and I was sick. And without going into this too deeply, the upshot of the story is the second game the Yankees and Red Sox played, the second game when I got sick, it was the longest nine-inning game in the history of baseball. How do you like that? The longest nine-inning game in the history of baseball. The Yankees won the game. Another, well, you figure a high-scoring game. It went 4 hours and 45 minutes. And there's a nine-inning game. And the Yankees won both. Now, I went back to my hotel room, and I somehow got through the night. You figure it ran its course, but I was scared stiff. So I went to the Yankee clubhouse on Saturday. You know, almost no sleep. We got back so late. And we're up for an early game. It's a very early bus in baseball. And they get you there two and a half hours before the game, sometimes 3 hours. And I went to the clubhouse. And I went to the Yankee chief athletic trainer, a marvelous human being named Gene Monahan. If you saw the Yankee clubhouse, the visiting clubhouse in Fenway Park, it's disgraceful. And the place was built in 1912. You never saw a room this small. Can you imagine how many members of the media there for the Yankees? You couldn't turn around. So I went to Gene, and I told him what happened. I said, "I you got to give me something." And he said, "But John, look at this place. Come back after you begin your pregame. Come back between the two. The place will be empty then, and that'll help you out." Now, in Boston, it's, as they say, it was built in 1912, you have to walk with the people. And it's just a common area. And I, honestly, I was afraid if I went downstairs, I'd never make it back to the elevators. I'd never make it in time for the game. And I'm doing all the play-by-play. And so at a certain time, I'm off on the pregame, and I took the elevator down, battled my way through this enormous crowd that's piling in, and I go to Gene, and he says, okay. He says, hold on a second, I'll give you something. So he goes back and whips up something in a cup, and he said to me, drink this, and don't drink anything else for 30 minutes. I guarantee you'll be okay. Now, I've used this story to tell my four children, and when they were little kids, you know, didn't want to take their medicine, I told them this story. So I go out of the clubhouse. Now I'm in with the middle of a million fans, and I take a little sip of this, and it was the worst, most vile concoction I ever tasted in my life. Ugh. And I thought to myself, oh boy, this is going to work. It was so vile. That's what I told my kids. Take your medicine. Honestly, it'll work. I don't care what it tastes like. So anyway, the minute I took a sip, I really knew it would work. And so then I quickly swallowed the thing in one gulp, battled my way through the crowd, got upstairs to broadcast the game, and I was all set for the weekend. And by the way, the Yankees won all five games. Thanks for listening, everyone, and be sure to come back for more baseball stories, Yankee stories, or sports stories. If you're enjoying the show, be sure to subscribe and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find all the episodes online at pinstripespodcasts.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.
Download and subscribe to Pinstripes and Bright Lights on radio.com and the radio.com app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.